Joe Courtney is a Democrat of Connecticut, 2nd District. He's been in office since 2007. Joe, let's talk a little bit about the Obamacare or ACA and Trump's trying to revise it and so far being extraordinarily unsuccessful. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I mean, I compare it to, you know, the end of Wizard of Oz, is that, you know, Toto pulls the curtain back and there's, you know, just nothing going on there that, you know, people believed was the case. And you know, Trump promised on day one he would repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. We're about day 200 or 180 of this administration. I mean, it's crystal clear that these guys are just fumbling around trying to come up with something that will cobble together enough votes to get to clear a bill through the Senate. And, you know, every version of it has just been just universally castigated by, you know, the hospitals, the March of Dimes, the American Cancer Society, you know, folks who are, you know, just the most credible validators from outside the system, nurses, nursing groups, AMA has come out against it because they realize that rolling back, you know, health coverage for 22 million people is not healthcare reform. It's just creating space for a tax cut. That's you know, what Warren Buffett calls it, the Tax Relief for the Rich Act. That's what he calls the Republican healthcare bill. And nobody sees, I think, these issues as clearly as Warren Buffett, I think, sometimes. So anyway, you know, the moment of truth is fast approaching. The first Senate bill obviously got totally creamed by the Congressional Budget Office in terms of its calculations. And you know, Senator Heller and Collins and you know, some of the more moderate members obviously just completely stampeded for the exits on it. And, you know, McConnell's pretty good at what he does there. But, you know, I think he's squeezing a balloon here in terms of trying to come up with fixes that will get him to 51 votes. So, as I said, it's fast approaching. They can't let this thing go past the August break if there is one. And I'm a skeptic that they're really going to find the sweet spot to get a bill to move. And again, the external pressure is ferocious that's coming in, again, from all these groups that people actually have confidence in around healthcare, which is, you know, a tough issue out there. But when you know, organizations that help patients with chronic disease or you know, help with, you know, seniors like AARP weigh in as ferociously. And one thing that's kind of an interesting fact, Planned Parenthood and the American Catholic Healthcare Association are together on this bill in terms of opposition to it. I never thought I'd live to see something like that. But they, you know, it's just so, you know, horrendous across the board that even it could unite groups who usually are at complete opposite ends of the spectrum when you talk about healthcare policy.
But
so again, I'm a skeptic.
Okay, I get it. But I'm a skeptic too. And I think that what's afoot here is that they want a victory to hand to Donald Trump, any victory. And
right.
Frankly, I don't think they give a damn what's in it. So if they extend the Medicare cuts out 20 years, you know, or 10 years
right.
or whatever else, they're doing it just so they can have this vacuous, empty bill and they can say, yeah, chest thumping, we did it. And when I listen to people like Susan Collins, I don't think I hear what you hear. I think I hear a woman desperate to come up with some kind of a solution that she will allow her to vote for it.
Well, again, but I think that, you know, coming from New England, I think she's kidding herself if she really thinks that just sort of pushing out Medicaid cuts is going to somehow convince people back home who are from, again, all of the frontline healthcare providers who see what that really means as a vote that they could possibly justify in their own minds. Again, look at your description of McConnell's thinking, which is, you know, he has no beliefs or principles that he's really operating under here. It's all about getting a victory. I completely agree with you. And from a 2018 standpoint, the stakes are high for his caucus and for the party. But again, I think they have just so badly bungled this thing and that they just, you know, can't accomplish within the structure of the budget resolution that they passed back in January, which again was what really started the machinery moving towards this vote, because as you know, it's a reconciliation vote, not a normal legislative policy bill. I'm going to kick myself afterwards, but I'm very skeptical that they're going to be able to pull this off. And the fact that McConnell's already talking about Plan B in terms of, well, you know, we're going to have to do something to stabilize the insurance markets if this effort falters, was, in my opinion, kind of an extraordinary concession by him, who's usually, you know, so disciplined and never, you know, explains or defends, you know, just is always relentlessly, adamantly moving forward with his, whatever his talking points are. To me, that was a real sign of weakness.
Well, but Joe, when he says that if you don't vote for this as a body to the Senate Republicans, I'm going to go to Chuck Schumer, we'll have to do it that way. That's a threat.
Yeah.
That isn't really, he doesn't really mean it. He's trying to threaten them, isn't he?
Well, there is a serious problem, as you know, with the stability of the insurance markets, and you know, funding cost sharing payments, and maybe doing some of the reinsurance mechanisms would transform a lot of these rate requests that are out there right now for 2018. And for Susan Collins, and for Dean Heller, and for Shelley Capito or Murkowski, that actually I think is an attractive path forward. Again, could he withstand the fury of the, you know, the Ted Cruz, Mike Lee end of the spectrum? I don't have any special inside skinny in terms of how that Senate caucus dynamics works, but I do think, you know, the votes are there to do a stabilization of the markets if he's serious. And again, there is pressure to do that, by the way, in terms of what, you know, governors are really telling these guys, as well as even, you know, folks who are close to the insurance market, like insurance commissioners and insurance companies.
Joe Courtney, I wanted to ask you one thing. We only got about a minute, but I wanted to ask you about, during the campaign, all we heard about was immigration reform. What are we hearing now?
So, Secretary Kelly, who frankly, I think a lot of people had high hopes because of his service in the Southern Command when he was, general in the military before he was confirmed as Homeland Secretary. You know, there was some hope that, you know, there really would be a little bit of nuance in terms of just how Department of Homeland Security operates and ICE in particular operates. I think that hope is pretty much faded and gone. And, the green light is out there for ICE offices to basically sweep up anybody who's undocumented, even, you know, without any, you know, criminal history or bad behavior that would trigger, taking someone or picking someone up. So my sense is that for the hardliners on immigration, they're pretty much satisfied to just sort of let, the administration do its thing. There was a vote on sanctuary cities right before the break, which police chiefs and organizations representing police officers came out against, because it really would have, deputized local police departments and state police in terms of doing enforcement for federal law, which I think is actually a violation of the 10th Amendment. And it passed, in the House, pretty straight party line vote. So, they are trying to poke the system, legislatively, but I think that's going to die in the Senate. And I think, as I said, at this point, it's pretty much, in the administration's hands, which is not a comforting thought in terms of trying to get an intelligent fix to the system, which I think most people would recognize needs a fixing. And, but it can't just be an enforcement-only solution.
It's always great to talk to our wonderful friend Joe Courtney from Connecticut. It's beautiful, and I do mean beautiful, 2nd District, in office since 2007. Joe, when we come back the next time, I got lots more for you.
Okay, Alan.